Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. Welcome back. This is your host, Brother Kev.
This is your girl, Rigel.
Habari Ghani. This is your brother, Mufasa Ra.
Yes, indeed. And we are Collective Minds Radio, back for another week to share some constructive dialogue with the family. We also have a very special guest joining us. But as always, before we get started, y'all, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for us?
My week was excellent. I don't have any announcements, but I did have a great week.
That's what's up. Well, your
all
brother Mufasa had a good week as well. I had a good week as well. I just left from Oz this morning. Brother was in town from Memphis. Guest minister came and put down a beautiful lecture for the people. I'm still full off of that. But I did want to give my condolences to the victims of that shooting that happened a couple hours ago in Florida. As you all know, I'm a big football fan, including the Madden football game. And apparently it was a Madden tournament in Florida, and a gunman just opened up fire on the people. I think he killed 4 and injured 11. So sending
right.
my condolences to those people. You know, you hate to hear about people getting bombarded with, some lunatic gunfire, some crazy man, but it is what it is in this crazy world, with this wicked world we in.
Right, yeah, I just heard about that, too. So, yeah, that's crazy, man. Over tournament. They said he was a pro gamer, too. So it's very interesting, very interesting. This week was a good week. Shout out to all the Virgos. We coming into Virgo season. There's a lot of Virgos in my family. My mother, Virgo. My wife a Virgo, my two girls a Virgo, my daughters. So, shout out to all the Virgos as we move forward.
I see who run that.
And also,
Virgo.
Oh, man, a Virgo's running. And also, I don't know if the family has been keeping up with the story in South Africa. The leader of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, responded to Trump this week because Trump had put out a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Basically lying and saying that they was killing the white farmers in South Africa, and the president of South Africa had to come out and respond, basically saying, that the tweet was a lie and we expected this type of behavior to come because they just trying to correct the wrongs from history and basically return the land to the black South Africans who originally had the land before it was stolen from them. So that's an interesting story. I just want to tell the family, keep an eye on that because there should be more to come as we move forward. And, I wanted to get a quick response from y'all. What y'all think about that story as far as the South Africans taking back their land real quick?
I say congratulations.
Indeed. All right.
Indeed.
Okay. Without further ado, that's enough said. This is Collective Minds Radio, y'all. This is not a spectator sport. Please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And we have a special guest for y'all today. We have an activist in the neighborhood, an organizer, a mentor joining us today to talk about the youth, talk about different programs, talk about solutions that we can give our youth to empower them and get them on the right track. So without further ado, Mr. Anthony Shaheed.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Hello.
Wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go
whoa.
Ahead.
Don't
no,
wait. Hold up.
Go
hold
ahead.
Hold up.
Go ahead.
I got to say something first before you bring this brother on here now. Now, I know I was going to say something.
Go ahead.
Now, this brother that's coming on here, he may forget my name, but hopefully he don't forget my face. I've been following this brother for a few years now. I first met this man back in, I want to say, in 2010. Might have been 11. When he opened up a market here in Baton, here in St. Louis, in the community called Yours Market, which was an excellent market serving healthy food for the community. It was no pork, no liquor, no cigarettes. Every time you walk in this building, this brother will be there, and I would love to hear his chant. Welcome to yours, Martin. It just lit me up. You know what I'm saying? So then I follow that to Ferguson with the Michael Brown shooting. I run across this brother again, out there leading the way, leading the people, protesting. You know what I'm saying? Leading us to action. And he came up with
That's
another
right.
slogan.
That's right.
Hands
That's
up,
right.
don't shoot.
Hands up.
Then this brother just last year had a reunion of his Tahi youth group where he brought the brothers back together again, out into the streets, into the community, fighting crime, trying to make a difference in our community, leading the way with another slogan called The Black Man Is Back. So I want this brother to know how much I appreciate him. When I see him, sometimes I want to say Uncle Shaheed, but I have to catch myself and say Brother Shaheed. So now, without further ado, we can
wow.
bring on our brother, Brother Anthony Shaheed.
Wow, that's right. Give it up, y'all. Give it up.
Y'all got Brother Shaheed. Oh, wow. Y'all got Brother Shaheed speechless, man. If y'all want Brother Shaheed, you can't do it like that. I am him.
That's
your
right.
brother's
that's
him.
Right.
And I'm so honored that you and your brother and your sister would even invite me on your show. But I'd like to start off with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And I bear witness that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad's His messenger. Again, thank you all for inviting me on your show. And I feel so warm and welcome. A lot of times people don't know. Sometimes we need that too. We human.
Yes, sir.
You know, I tell people I go to sleep, I get up. I just left my little granddaughters now, you know, just left a protest line, believe it or not, in Ferguson, the Ferguson Market. You know, I go
That's
to sleep.
Right.
You know, I eat food. I do everything everybody else do. And sometimes just
mm-hmm.
a kind word like that, brother, you just don't know how that make you feel sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, even though you're in a struggle and you're fighting, sometimes, a lot of times, people take a lot for granted and don't know, you know, the time
yeah.
you put into fighting for black people. You know, they
That's
just
right.
want to empower black people to
right.
make them. And a lot of people don't know how powerful it is. When you're empowering black people, everybody can't do it. And once you do it, you can't let them down because it's so hard to motivate them sometimes. And once you get
mm-hmm.
them motivated, if they feel as though they tricked or they've been let down or they've been played, it just takes so long to get them back to that, get them back on that track again. So I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it from my heart. Anytime my daughter, she used to help set up everything for me because Brother Shaheed don't have a payroll. I don't take payouts. I don't take no money
mm-hmm.
from nobody. So if I don't have my daughter, I have a secretary named Sister Felicia Hampton, and she does so much for me. She's spoiled rotten. And I'm so thankful for her because they helped me do everything. And I don't mind being honest with y'all. Brother Shaheed don't know how to do anything but text. I don't know how to Facebook. Even though I got a Facebook page, I don't know how to Instagram. I don't know how to do none of that stuff. All I know how to do is fight for black people, but I fight real hard. And I take a no compromising position. So I'm going to be quiet. Y'all tell me what y'all want me to say. Y'all tell me what you want to do. I have made not one note. I love to speak from my heart. And I don't need to have no notes when it comes to talking about what's happening in our community, with our people, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need no notes. You just hit me with the questions, or if the people going to call and ask questions. If I don't know the answer, I won't make no answer up. I'm going to play like I know something. I'll go and find out the answer. I have a lot of people that God has blessed me to be able to reach out to, along with my own history.
That's
I've been
right.
out here for 47 years. This is Brother Shaheed.
Right.
47 years working in this community. So I'm no new person to the block, but if I don't know something, and I tell people the things I don't know, we can make 10 more worlds like this. So let me shut up. Tell me what Elizabeth Taylor told her ninth husband. Brother Shaheed, don't talk so long. You won't be around here too much longer.
No, you fine, brother. Before we get started, I want to say thank you for sharing some of your evening with us. We do appreciate it. And just for our listeners who may have never heard of you, because we have listeners around the country, is there anything you want to share with the people about yourself and about the work that you do?
Well, I'll just start off. I'm Brother Shaheed, and I like the name Brother Shaheed. There's a lot of brothers who call me Uncle. So if you tell me when you meet me, hey, I'm the brother that's on the radio, Brother Shaheed, and I would like to be Uncle. That's very affectionate. And everybody don't feel like that about you. So if a brother says that to me, I feel very affectionate that you would even think of me as an uncle, because usually when a father's not around, an uncle would always be the one the field, and so I'm honored. I started off, I have six brothers and sisters. I just lost one. My mother adopted two, but we don't believe in adoption, so it's eight of us. We just lost one, so it's seven of us. We came up extremely poor, extremely poor. We used to spell poor, P-O-R, and not P-O-O-R. I was on every free lunch program that was coming up. I was on every clothes giveaway. When we did have some money, we always shopped in St. Louis. It's on Natural Bridge, right by a little bit before Fair. It was called Veteran Village. And I used to be extremely embarrassed because people would make fun of you. I always had food stamps. I never, when I grew up, they had the real food stamps. And then depending on which store you went to, they would give you a due bill. So if you spent a dollar and you only spent 50 cents, they would write down 50 cents, and you have to come back to that store. You wouldn't get change. And so, you know, I came up like that. I came up where me and my brothers and sisters had to switch shoes. We had a hole in our pants. We know how to patch. So my mother taught us values. She taught us how to iron. She taught us how to wash. She taught us how to cook, you know, and then we played, had fun. I'm just going to give you just a little bit, then you tell me when you want to switch to another subject because you asked me. We used to play marbles because we were poor. So we had marbles. Mm-hmm. Those were cheap. We would put a rock in our hand and cross our hands, and if you knew which rock was in what hand, when you opened up, it was a rock, you go to the next step. If you didn't, you stayed there. We had some cards, and we would just stand up and throw cards in a corner, and whoever made a card touch, you get all the rest of the cards. We played hide-and-go-seek. You know, when my children and them played rope, they played hopscotch. We had fun, and we didn't have a whole lot of stuff. But one thing we had each other. And each one of us knew each other's birthdays. For the most part, if I look at your number one for two times, if I look at it three times, I'm going to memorize your number for a whole year. And people say, Shai, how you memorize a number like that? That's how we had to do it. We had to do it. Now what they do to me, it kind of makes them baffled because if you lose your phone, you can say right now, sister, you can use my phone. Well, I don't know my brother's number. What do you mean you don't know your brother's number? I had it in his name, but I didn't have his number. It's like we're going backwards.
Right.
Everything is machinery.
Yeah, that's right.
So so if you go into a store now, you give a person 50 cents, something costs 51 cents, and you give them a dollar, and you didn't say you got a penny, and now you say, here's a penny. You throw them all the way off. They don't know to give you two quarters or five dimes or 10 nickels or a roll of 50 pennies. They fall off. They can't count. Everything is so... We came up like that, but I was thankful that at a young age, because they told me I was extremely slow up until about 8 years old, they had me in a special room. Now they call it learning disability. But I heard the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He empowered my life from the first time to the first mosque meeting. Inshallah, Allah Akbar. Thank you, brother, which means all praise due to Allah. Inshallah means, you know, if Allah pleased, Allah was pleased because I went to the mosque the very first time, and what I heard impacted me so much. They empowered me so much to make me know who I was. And they kind of taught, if I can just go into this, that everybody, how you empower a person, you let them know everybody got something different than you have. Nobody has the same thumbprint. So since nobody has the same thumbprint, that means when I put mine down, it's going to be different from yours. Even if you and your brother are identical twins right down the radio, y'all won't have the same thumbprint. You won't have the same eye print. Your left eye won't be the same as your right eye. That's why they said, give me your left thumbprint, give me your right thumbprint. So nothing is the same. So he showed us that everybody has a gift. And then he showed us how to ungift the gift that we had, unwrapped that gift, because everybody has a gift, but it's been gift wrapped. He showed us how to ungift that wrap and show us that every one of us have a miracle or genie, power that's in us, and how we can empower ourselves, and then how you can empower others by just your example. So let me let you start asking questions because I go too long on one thing. So just say, Brother Shai, when Malcolm was ready to come up, this is the inside thing for anybody out on the radio listening, I want to know anything about Malcolm. When he was ready to teach and he would let a young student introduce him, he would holler out, make it plain. If he said make it plain, it's time, it means he's ready. So when Brother Shai talked too long, say, Brother Shai, make it plain. And I don't know the shut up.
Okay, got
you. Okay,
yes, sir.
Got you. Now, if you're just joining us, this Collective Minds Radio, we are joined by community activist and organizer Anthony Shaheed. We will be getting to the phone lines here in a second, but I want to give opportunity to my co-host to ask Brother Shaheed a question.
Now, I was going to say, introduce the topic again, too, brother, before I go in.
Okay, yeah, the topic we're talking about is empowering our youth, Brother Shaheed does a lot of work with the youth as far as mentoring and organizing. Mm-hmm. So we're just having a dialogue and a build about, you know, empowering our youth today to get them ready, you know, for the future and keep them out of the jails and keep them out of away from violence.
Mm-hmm. The reason I asked you to set up like that, Brother Kev, because that segues into my first question. Earlier when I said that, you know, my first time meeting the brother was back in 2011. That's because, you know, and I'll share some of my history that I never probably shared on the radio, not too much, but I was one of those type of people that was engulfed in wrong activity. You know, and I kind of hid and ran from brothers like Shaheed, who was trying to just tell me or steer me in the right direction. When I was in high school, I had a mentor in high school named Leon Henderson. He passed not too long ago. You know him? You know him, Brother Terry? Yes, sir.
I love that, brother.
Yes,
go ahead. Yes, I know what you're talking about, bro. If Leon Henderson touched you, if he empowered you, if he just touched you within your, if you was honored to be worthy to be in his presence, whatever he said, you could take the things that he was forgetting to say and just use those things along and bring your whole life together.
That's 100.
And that brother
was
so close together. Yeah, go ahead, though, brother. Please,
That's exactly how he got me. I was a freshman in high school, and, you know, I didn't really care about school. I'm just there. You know, I didn't care. My mind was focused on stuff it shouldn't have been focused on. And that brother one day just, you know, talked to me and hit me. You know how somebody just hit you with a couple words? And it might not, it didn't hit me right then and there, but he planted a seed that throughout
the years,
that message just never left me, even though I was still doing stuff I shouldn't do. But I would always go back to just some of the conversations I had with him.
Yeah.
So when I came into Yours Market, even though I'm a older guy, you know, just seeing how Brother Shaheed Uncle Shaheed would
greet
the people coming in, you know what I'm saying? And just hearing that, welcome to Yours Market, you know, to hear a brother show love to the community like that, it was inspiring. And I was like, man, you know, I was touched at a later age, again. So I started going back and, you know, getting more involved in the community and trying to get, you know, clean up some of my act. So I just wanted to let the brother know how much I appreciate him and how I got my start was from Leon Henderson.
That is so beautiful. Brother Leon Henderson is there to greet the truth. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I won't forget what I'm saying. Go ahead.
I'm going to ask you the question, then go ahead and say what you was going to say. My question was, can you also tell us what's the difference between, like, when you was mentoring youth in the 80s and 90s, like I said, at that time, I wasn't trying to hear no type of inspiration. I was trying to stay in the cuts. I was trying to avoid that. So when you mentoring the youth back then and when you mentor the youth now, do you see a difference? Is there a difference in how you handle the youth? You know what I'm saying? Are they accepting to mentoring?
Yeah. If you catch them at the right age, and, you know, when I first started, I've been out here 47 years, but I've had the Tahi youth group going on 32 years now. I've been blessed to have a youth group for 32 years, and then I was working with youth before I started the group. So I'd say for 35 years I've had a youth group. I've been in the jails for 38 years. If you catch them and you're consistent, it's just no problem to get these young brothers. Matter of fact, the best result that I usually have is with brothers that don't nobody else want to listen, and that's what I usually reach out to. Send me the one, even though I love all of them, and we have to start looking out for our straight-A students because it's like we're not paying attention to them. But my best work, I'm only going to talk about Brother Anthony Shaheed and the work that I do as president of Thai Youth Group. My best work and my best gift is with those that nobody else have the ability to be able to touch. Because you have to keep it 100 with them, and I'm normally real raw. I don't cut, no, I don't chase it with nothing. I give it to them straight, and I let them know, hey, black man, you mind, and I'm coming for you. And you have to tell them that I don't care if it's a rotten apple, and I say this because I learned this from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you got a rotten apple, a rotten peach, or anything that's rotten, take that rotten apple or take that rotten peach and take the mushiness away from it and replant it, and you got a brand new fruit. But you can't use, you can't get different results with the same formula. You got to give them something different. And once you start showing them who they are and making them feel good about themselves, somebody tell you you're not nothing. You never will be nothing. Mm-hmm. You came from nothing. And then you sit around in front of children all day long saying, you know, black people can't stick together. You know how we – if you thought that, which is not true, you never entertain thoughts and impregnate your children with it, because then they become a Paul parrot and everybody says the same thing. Oh, you know how black people – you know how we are, girls. You know how – see, that's what you have to stop. And when you start entertaining thoughts and showing them who they are and then setting an example – Brother Shaheed was known as a special room student. I suppose it's slow. The same thing that y'all going through, Brother Shaheed went through. But somebody rest out to me. And as long as you're consistent, mm-hmm. I've been consistent in jail. Anybody that's in St. Louis area, I dare you to challenge me tomorrow to say, Brother Shaheed, I'll go to jail with you tomorrow. And watch out, brother, say, Shaheed, do not miss. Unless it's something really serious, they got to be just about an act of God. I will not miss a Monday, a Wednesday, or a Friday going to jail. Sometime I'm doing love days. But I'm consistent. I'm consistent in the community center. Just about any community center in the city of St. Louis, I'm in that. It's not a school in the city of St. Louis I ain't been to 15 or 20 times. Not one school. You name it, I've been there. So if you're consistently in a child's life, see, it's one thing about, you know, like a parent or father's never been in his life, but you his father. They say, hey, dude, you ain't never been in my life. I mean, how you gonna come here and feel like you got going on like this? But if you've been in a child's life, the kid comes into the world the same way. There's no different way they're being born pregnant. I mean, when a mother's pregnant, she delivers the baby the exact same way. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is we wait for the baby to get too far down strain, and you wait till they're 14 and 15 and 16 years old, and these young brothers, with the way y'all deal with these computers and all this stuff, they're dealing with so much more stuff, it's hard to catch them at that point. But if you've been in their life all the time, you know, I kind of seen a tape y'all sent me about this young brother, and I forget his name, G. Hesbro, or whatever.
G. Herbo.
And he was talking to some of the brothers in the past, you know, up in Chicago. And we won't just use Chicago, we'll use anywhere. If you haven't been into a child's life, it don't mean those brothers ain't what they are, who they are. It's what they're saying in so many words. How have you touched me, though? Most of the young brothers don't even know about the Million Man March, and it's 22 years ago. What? They wasn't born. And if they wasn't born and wasn't exposed to it, they don't know nothing about it. If you can't show them how it affects them, how right now I'm in jail and God has blessed me, I go to courts with brothers. I was in court twice last week, because some brothers go to court and spoke up for the judge. Hey, judge, I'm Brother Shaheed, which most of them know, and I'm going to work with this young brother. I'll mentor him. I've been coming to seeing him in the jail 3 days out of a week, and I want you to, you know, considerate giving me a chance to work with him. To say, and as long as a person like me coming there, or either his family, he has a family and a mother and father, and them say, hey, we got grass on the cut, we got some opportunities for some work, then they are affected by you. You can help show them how you get jobs. I dare anybody to get with me and say, Brother Shaheed, show me some of the jobs you have got and what you got on the plate right now. If you can show them how you can help them, then they can say how you're relevant. But if you can't show them how to help you, and they're in the streets night and day with them pills, because most of them out there, because you can't show them how to do carpentry work, you haven't shown them how to do painting work, you haven't shown them how to do electrical work, you haven't shown them how to cut some hair, you haven't shown them how to be a mechanic, you haven't shown them how to have a lot of money in cutting grass, you ain't showed them nothing. What they say, what you did 30 years ago is fine, but if you ain't did nothing today, they don't even fool with you, bro. These young bucks, they different. So if somebody say they different because we waiting too long to start getting into their lives. Remember, hey, say what Malcolm say now. Make it plain, Brother Shaheed, because you see I talk too much. You got to say, make it plain. I ain't heard neither one. Why my sister? Why your sister? She ain't said a word yet. Is she still there with y'all?
She,
you know, I just like to listen. I like to listen.
No, I don't want you to listen. I want you to talk to them. We don't believe in chauvinism. A black man is not going nowhere without a black woman. A black woman ain't going nowhere without a black man. So no, we got to have you the one set the whole thing up, and my daughter set up now, so you playing like you ain't there. I know a black woman. Y'all can talk now.
See that? That's
yes,
what I'm
indeed.
Saying. Yeah, look at that.
Call out.
He just
call
told
out,
you.
Brother.
Black woman set this up.
Y'all better say, make it plain. Say, Shaheed, now you're going too far. Say, make it plain. Tell Brother Shaheed to
make
it
plain.
Make
it plain.
Make it plain.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Now I do want to ask a specific question to everything you just said real quick. Now, when you have the conversation with the brothers in jail, can you kind of walk us through what that conversation is like if you're talking to, you know, someone that's at risk?
And I'm normally, whenever I come anywhere, and I think I told your sister earlier, make sure I'm saying your name right, sister, because I'll mess up the name. Sister Latanya?
Right.
How do you say your name?
Right.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Rising.
Yes, ma'am. What I try to do when I go, I don't make notes. I do not believe in notes. I believe in talking from my heart. Because when people see that you're talking from your heart, now I might quote some scriptures or quote something that I feel that's relevant. But I go on and always letting them know that everybody in life has made a mistake. And I don't care if you got a, you could take a shower right now. You say, Brother Shahid, you took a shower for you to a camera radio show? I said, yeah. And I took a white rag with some white soap and I washed my neck. I washed my face and with some discoloration. Then I took a brand new rag again and another fresh bar soap and I did it around my neck again and scrubbed it in my face again the second time. It'll be a little less. The third time when I use another wash rag and another piece of soap, it's going to be just about dirt free. I'm usually not going to see nothing, no discoloration on the towel. I can put on a brand new white shirt around my neck, and by the end of the day, you're going to see some discoloration over my shirt because you're not going to be able to be perfect, but guess what? You don't have to wallow in the filth. And I tell them in life, everybody made a mistake. The biggest mistake is when you don't correct that mistake and you keep on thinking about the mistake and glorifying. When you have made a mistake, ask Allah to forgive you. Allah, I made a mistake. Brother Shahid did some things in my life back years ago now that I would be embarrassed. If y'all ever heard about it, I would never come on the radio show. I would be keeping my head lower than an ant. And I think if Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, if he destroyed a man and woman for the things we did wrong, he would leave not a single creature on the face of this earth. I don't care who listening in the radio audience now. If he would destroy you, me, and everybody that's listening, whoever ain't listening, but anything for the things we have done wrong, he wouldn't leave a man or woman on the face of this earth, but he's so merciful. So what we have to do is tell him. And what I usually go to him and let him know, you done made a mistake, bro, but how are you going to change? Don't serve time. Time has to serve you. Take this time now and start thinking about when you're in here, live as though you're going to live forever and live as though you're going to die tomorrow. You know, when you're rich, plan to be poor, and when you're poor, plan to be rich. When you're in jail, plan to get out, and when you get out, don't ever plan to get back in. See, so what I usually do is give him an uplifting message. I'm always telling them about who they are and how they're the original man. And I tell them the reason
right.
you did a lot
That's
of
right.
things, I kind of quote a lesson that Malcolm gave us, or that Elijah Muhammad gave to Malcolm, and he would always say, and I'll just give you just a real short version of it. My name is W.F. Muhammad. I came to North America by myself. My uncle was brought over here by the slave traders 379 years ago. My uncle does not speak his own language. He does not know he's my uncle. He loved the devil because the devil gives him nothing. Why does he love the devil? Because the devil put fear in him when he was a little boy. Why does he love the devil now that he's a big man? Because the devil taught him to eat the wrong type of food. Do this have anything to do with above question number 10? Yes, this makes him other than himself. What is his own self? His own self is a righteous Muslim. Are there any Muslim other than righteous? I beg your pardon. I never heard of one. I'll stop it right there. But we're 9,000 miles and 400 years from home now. And you got to understand that when you've been hit in your head, we got the Stockholm Syndrome. We do a Stockholm Syndrome. I mean, you love people that dog you out, and you think it's okay. A lot of things you're doing, you're doing because you think you're somebody else. You don't know that you're the original people on the planet Earth. The two black people can make white, the two white people can't make black. If you don't empower him to make him understand how powerful he is, how great he is, you're the only people who got straight eyebrows and things on your head or kinky hair. It proves you're the original people. You have nothing in your skin. When you start telling them how great and the mistake he made, it was taught. These are taught behaviors, but not how you have to lead that because you can't keep blaming this white man on everything. You'd be surprised how you can get you got his undivided attention in there. He's facing 25 or 30 years. He's listening real good right about now. You know?
That's right.
But make it plain now. You want me to keep going? I'll keep going now. But say, make it plain. Somebody got to holler, make it plain. I'm telling y'all what to do. Y'all keep talking about uncle and don't say make it plain. Hey, we'd be talking on one subject for 10 hours.
Ride you, what's up? Well, yes, Sister Rice, you got to tell make it plain, folks.
Yeah, so I ain't heard my mother. She said make it plain. I'm going to make it plain. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to be like Elizabeth Taylor told all eight of her husbands, I won't be around here too much longer. I won't keep you around here too much longer.
That's right. That's
well, let's
right.
Make,
so
make it,
just...
Let's make it plain.
Yes, ma'am. We'll go to the next question.
All right.
I'm following y'all lead.
Okay, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. This is your host, Brother Kev, with my brother Mufasa and my sister, Rigel Starr. We have a very special guest in the building this evening, Brother Anthony Shahid, who is a community activist, organizer, mentor, you name it. He does it. So give us a call. This is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And I'm going to yield to my co-host. You got a question for Mr. Shahid?
Let's go to the phone lines, and then you can go move faster. Let's go to area code 815-287. Caller, do you have a question or a comment? Area code 815, you have a question or a comment? Okay, they could be just listening in. Let's do one more, then you can ask your question. Move faster. Area code 336-965. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
No comment.
Okay, just listening in. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for listening. Brother, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to your youth group, the Tahi youth group, like you said, you started that over 30 years ago.
Yes.
What exactly motivated you to do that, and what were the steps that you had to take to get that ball to roll?
Just being sincere and consistent. I just seen that Allah has blessed me. Everybody has a gift. You know, we talked about that. And my gift is to talk to young people and it's keeping it real. And Allah blessed me at a young age to get a chance to be exposed to a lot of powerful history. I was exposed to the grandmaster teacher. Everybody talk about the students and talk about how powerful the students are, but it should now make you think about who the teacher was. And I was blessed with that teacher. You talk about Muhammad Ali and how he shook up the world. It was because he had a grandmaster teacher. You talk about Mr. Farrakhan right now. He went to the concert, they told me, last week, and Jay-Z and Beyonce gave it up to Mr. Farrakhan in Chicago like nobody else did. You talk about the students, and you should. Nothing taken away from the students. You talk about Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, but one to know him, he was one of the hottest things that was out here. You talk about Akbar Muhammad. Mr. Akbar Muhammad have been out of 192 nations. He's been to over 170 of them, 20 or 30 times, not one time. Out of 192 nations, he's been to at least 170 nations, 20 or 30 times. He's a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you talk about Brother Sultan Muhammad, I'm talking about some powerful men, not no regular men. You're talking about students of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're talking about Imam Muhammad. Brother Shaheed is a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So when I seen him, and I was blessed to be exposed to him at such a young age, he didn't have us doing a lot of playing. Our job was always called raising the dead. We was always out what we call fishing, to go out and give the life-giving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to our people, because it's one thing whether people want to accept it or not, the truth of the matter, and these are actual facts. Once the brothers come around us in the Nation of Islam or the Tahi youth group, it's a different than our parents because, you know, we don't eat pork, we don't smoke cigarettes, we don't drink liquor. So when you start talking about the store, it was a no-brainer because it was called Yours Market. It wasn't my market. It wasn't his market. It's known as what? Yours Market. So when you walked in the store, we would say, welcome to what? Yours Market. Welcome to Yours Market. This is your market. And when we would greet everybody, when you came in there, you got greeted. Every sister got taken outside. Why? Because this was the teachers that I'm alive. We would open the door. There was no sister that would come in that store that I ever known that we didn't escort that sister to her door and open the door. I don't care if that sister didn't do nothing but buy a pack of gum. Some brother was going to walk you out. If it wasn't no brother, that Brother Shaheed was going to stop off the cash register and say, brothers, y'all watch the store, or sister, watch the store, Brother Shaheed, after escort this sister out to the car and open the door.
That's right.
Out of respect. And if you understand that, we didn't sell liquor in that store. I could have sold liquor. I could have still been open. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was sell cigarettes and liquor. I could have sold pork. I could have sold crack pipes. I could have sold syrup. I could have sold dormant. I could have sold everything some of these foreigners said. I didn't want to sell it, and I didn't sell it. And if I couldn't do what Allah told me to do right, some people worry about Dallah. I was worried about Allah. So I used what the Tahi youth group showed me. I used what I was blessed at a young age and threw it into the Tahi youth group, and I was able to take young brothers that was in total trouble and show them how to empower them and how to change their life. And it's not just Brother Shaheed. It's a many people out here have empowered young people, you know, but what they don't do, the news don't talk about that. If right now me and you get on the radio and y'all cuss me out and I cuss y'all and I say I'm going to come up there and shoot y'all place up and disrespect my sister or something, guess what? It would make national, it would go viral.
Be all over
if we said right now, we got a straight A student, and we vowed we're gonna always be brothers, sister. I would say, yes, ma'am, thank you, sister. Make it plain, brother Shahid, to be quiet. They would say, okay, tell me what the news is. You're talking about breaking news. That's not gonna break no news with that. That's not no breaking news story. It's not you. It's nothing about us talking about the black man is back. That God bless brother Shahid to do 40 cities last year, a year and a half. I did 40 cities. I took 10,000 men throughout the whole entire nation. 40 cities. That didn't make news. Why? Because that ain't what white folks want to talk about. White folks and these so-called Jews don't want to talk about how we empower each other and how they were inspired to go into all these different cities to talk to young brothers and show them genuine love. I'm not talking about regular love. I'm talking about a mother's love. Why am I talking about a mother's love? A mother running to a fire. She's not a firefighter. She don't have a fire hat on. She don't have a fire jacket. She don't have an axe. She don't have a water hose. If that house is on fire, her son or daughter in that fire, she run into that fire. We have that kind of love, and we went into the street. Black man is back. Black man, we love you, and we're coming for you. That's why we are here. And we came out as black men, not black boys, but black men. And they saw it.
Make it plain.
Make it plain.
Make it plain, indeed. Now, because I want to touch on what you were just talking about, because last April, you had the call of action for black men to come to the streets and patrol the streets and get out there. So we know this work is ongoing. So would you say was that march a success, and do you plan on having any marches like that in the future?
Well, that's a good question. We have never stopped. We just never did 40 cities. You know, people say, I've heard people even put statements out like, he talked all this stuff and did it one time. That's not true. We did street patrols before. You heard me say Leon Henderson used to do street patrols. And to this day, we probably do, probably since then, we done did, I'm going to just make a number up, and I know I'm not telling the truth, it's going to be more than that. I said we done did 75 street patrols since then. It wasn't hundreds of brothers, and it wasn't round. It might have been no more than 10 or 15, but we go into the community all the time, once or twice a week. We in the community. When it's dead, one at a time, without finding out, them brothers don't build street corners. They build most of them A-Rap places. They build mostly service stations, and that's where they post up at, and you can still get them, or you go into those community centers and get them. But we're still doing it. We just haven't did 40 cities yet, you know, but I'm reaching out now. I'm working on something that last time I said with Melka Farrakhan, to help me to do it throughout the whole nation before this cold come in, and that's what I'm working on. But yes, we have never stopped, because you can't just start at one time and stop. It's not important that you start a forest catch on fire. It's how important if the fire spreads. So it don't mean that we start it. It's how you continue it. Make it plain.
That's right. Make it plain, indeed.
That's good, because I know we really want to, you know, try to help the community, especially with all the problems that we see going on. We really want to try to reach the youth. You know, let's go to the phone lines real fast.
Yes.
We're going to take caller 636-614. This is Lieutenant Ronnie Robertson.
No, I'm not the lieutenant.
Ronnie Robertson. Sorry about that.
Ronnie Robertson. I'm the father of Breon Robertson. And I've been fighting for justice with the police department since January. And it's a shame that they can tell you that they're working on it. My dad was a cop for 30 years. I ain't never seen no new cops like these talking about they're working on something. You got to work for 7 months. You ain't working no 7 months. You know?
Real quick, I'm sorry, but for people that's not familiar with the case, can you give us a background on exactly the case you're talking about and what's going on?
Okay, my son was a young man killed in set of fire in the dumpster, the first dumpster, January 26th.
Okay, this year?
Yeah, this year. And they notified us January the 30th.
Was this in the city or the county?
Well, he was down in the city in the dumpster.
Okay, and you say the police don't have any suspects. They say they're just working on it.
They keep telling me they're working on it, but the detective showed me where a guy that got locked up had my son's necklace But then you don't tell me you can't charge it. Why you show me the next? You know, don't show me evidence, but then say you can't charge a person.
Brother Shaheed, have you met this gentleman on the phone?
Have I met? Because, to tell me how I met him, to be honest, I'm not sure. Have I met Brother Robinson? Have I met you, my brother?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I met you before. I know who, I know exactly who you are, you know.
Okay.
I don't say, can you give him some direction, something to help him out with what he's going through?
I want him to continue to talk because sometimes, you know, I do a lot of talking, but I believe sometimes just hearing from a father, you know, and that's one of the things that I love that Mike Brown has started is a father perspective. Most times fathers don't get a chance to talk. They just think mothers hurt, and mothers do. Don't, no disrespect to mothers or nothing. But fathers hurt, too, because fathers have been into their children's lives. So I'm going to jump in, but I would like while he's rolling, I don't want to stop him.
Okay. Yes, y'all ready? Okay, so my
go ahead.
I've been on Fox 2, I've been on 4, I've been on 5. I shut the whole city down over the weekend, over 2 months ago. And it's a shame that you can't even go in and meet with the mayor. The mayor assistant called me and told me that she met with me. She never met with me. I know if I have a meeting, ain't nothing wrong with me physically, mind-wise, or nothing. But to tell me you met with me before, you haven't met with me. You know, just say you ain't got time for me. And that's how I take it. I take it like St. Louis take this killing as a joke in St. Louis. See, I'm originally from Centerville. So over there, we take it serious. We team up, we come out, and we do what we do to solve cases. My dad was law enforcement 30 years. I ain't never seen nothing so sad as St. Louis. I had the chief tell me himself at Goody Goody's when I walked in on him, eating breakfast. I ain't the chief downtown. Come on, man. Don't throw me out there like that. If you look like us, do something for us. I'm tired of folks looking like us don't want to do nothing. If you don't want to do nothing, take your political spot and go on. Like I tell anybody, I don't want to fight against the politician leader crooks out here. That's backwards. That's
right.
Like me fighting you and you got a job. What I look like fighting you and you got a job?
Indeed. Well, now, brother, can you?
If Brother Ronnie don't continue to do what he do, see, it's one thing about us fighting, but it's nothing like a mother or father's voice. You got to stay on top of IAD, make an IAD complaint. Most people don't know when you say IAD complaint. Now, I don't know if he's there or not. I'm just, for the rest of the people that's listening, if you don't do that, IAD is like going to, whenever a police officer know he got to go into IAD, he going to take his attorney with him because it's like going to the FBI in the police department. He know
right.
It ain't there if there's nothing good. So now that then you want to know, hey, I want to charge somebody because somebody said that they had a necklace. Don't let them do it all. If you don't sit and start initiating, because then that starts moving it. Then when you start doing something, put it in writing. Whoa. Don't just tell them what you're going to do and then CC it. I'm just making something up. You don't have to put my name. I'm just saying. But it's okay.
What you're saying. Just like I know about malfeasance. I know about malfeasance law where I can challenge the politicians to do their job, but I don't think I need to do a malfeasance out here. You know, I know about color law. So I mean, I know about color law too. So I'm not lost on being educated. And I appreciate what you're telling me, but I'm not lost on being educated. But like I said, I just don't want to fight the politicians, but I want the politicians to let the police department man up and give accountable for what they do. Ain't nowhere in the world you don't tell me 7 months later you still working.
Well, why don't y'all do me a favor? If you give brother Ronnie my number, I'm gonna put you with a sister named Heather Teller. She's with the Ethical Society. This sister don't cut no corners. She don't sugarcoat nothing, and she really, I'm surprised that they ain't trying to throw off that police department because she fights for black people like nobody else has, and she's over homicide and she's in homicide. If you would give him my number,
I've been on the news since January. So you know, if I've been on the news that many times, I mean, I understand that I ain't running around with some lieutenant. I'm Ronnie Robinson, a real man and a real father.
So I want you to know,
I don't keep fighting. It don't make no difference what they say, what they do. I don't keep fighting.
Brother Shaw, he just gave me suggestions. I'm not telling you. I would never tell you to stop fighting. I'm just telling you.
No, I'm not taking it like that. I'm just letting you know, as a radio host and what y'all doing, I appreciate it. But I, as a father, I'm going to let you know I don't keep fighting. I don't take nothing for granted. Nothing.
I would love to get you
brother,
some help.
Brother, is there anything we can do?
Yeah, if you have anything going on, we can help you out.
I'm not
putting my number over the airways. I get you my number. Mm-hmm. I don't need everybody calling me, act like they're concerned and just want some information, mm-hmm. but I get you brothers
yes,
my
sir.
Number.
Yes, sir.
You know
I understand, brother.
I'm not finna expose myself like I need to everybody that don't care.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't need everybody
indeed, we
to
understand. Yeah, we understand.
Yeah, we have
brother.
To understand. You have to be careful that I was a victim of crime as well. My father was murdered a couple of years ago. And you know, I know it's a rough thing to go through, brother, but we here for you and we're definitely willing to help you out with whatever you're going through.
I appreciate
you
it. Melvin Shaheen, you know me. This is Ronnie Robinson from Centerville. Do the golf tournament for the kids with cancer.
Now, my brother is Melvin. Melvin does the prostate cancer. I'm Anthony.
Right, okay.
But it's okay.
Okay.
So what you can
do
is just do this.
I met with him several times.
Okay, let's do this here. You give him my number off the air. I'll get his number off the air. Y'all make sure,
okay.
And then what I'll do, I'll make sure I get him with Sergeant Heller Teller because I'm telling you, some things going to happen with Sergeant Heller Teller getting involved.
I appreciate it. Thank you, brother.
I'll make sure.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, I'll definitely make sure. Thanks for calling in, Ronnie, and I'll definitely make sure that I'll get you guys connected as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
All right, indeed.
I like
Thank you
calls.
For the call. Again.
You know what I like about those calls there, brothers and sisters? Those,
mm-hmm.
brother Kev,
mm-hmm.
those are real calls there. Those are not. That brother's speaking from his heart, and what I
yes,
see
sir.
Out here in our community is a lot of hurt and pain, and people want to just jump over it. You can't jump over that. This is real. This is not number red.
No.
This is real.
That's right. That's right.
No, no you surely can't.
And he's a good guy,
can't.
Too. He's definitely a good guy. Yeah.
I say I lost my father. It's been 10 years ago, and I still feel that hurt.
Wait. Yeah, you feel that hurt, bro. And then he said his father was in law enforcement for 30 years, and he sees the difference in how they deal with it. You see, everybody don't know
mm-hmm.
how to do real policing. I'm just telling you, a lot of police ain't the same way. And I'm not anti-police. I got a lot of police that I worked with in the last 40-some years. But I got a major problem with different ones. A lot of people say, why do you keep on saying Lakeshaw? They know that Lakeshaw, who's just called a lieutenant colonel, he's a lieutenant colonel now, and this is Brother Shaw, he says, I say what I want to say, and I ain't backing down for none of it. He have put more drugs and dope on black people in the city of St. Louis than any one person, and I want to know why. I've been putting it out for years. How come the FBI or somebody have them came and locked this dude up? I'm just and I don't whisper about it. I'll say it again. I wish somebody would take this number out, 314-444-5624, 314, which is St. Louis area code, 444-5624. That's the chief of police number. Why don't they call and say, Brother Shaheed was on the radio talking about Lakeshaw. Won't y'all do an investigation on this dude or something? I'm putting it out there. I'm
How do you
trying
spell
to
Lakeshaw? How do you
Lakeshaw. Let me put my glasses. I'm looking at a picture of this. But yeah, I got just give me one half of a second. His name is Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Gerald Lakeshaw, and it's spelled, I'm putting these glasses, but you ain't got to wear glasses now. It's Gerald, Gerald, and the last name is Leychock. Gerald Lakeshaw, so it's Lieutenant Colonel Gerald Lakeshaw.
Leychock.
Yeah, Leychock, like a shock. He a shock.
Yeah.
He know he done put this much drugs and dope. And them old guys now, what they tell me now, he ain't doing it now. The new guy now is a Sergeant Seagulls. Seagulls is doing all the drug pushing on the black community. My problem with the good police is that they know this dude is dirty, and instead of them doing some sting or some investigation like they do, brothers, they find out what brothers done do up and make a buck. How come y'all ain't bust up the ring right in that police department that sells drugs and dope? Y'all know they putting it on black folks. And then you want to play
that's
like that. And that's why the disconnect comes. It ain't that I got to disconnect. It's some police officers that I trust and I respect. I really, over 40 years, you work with some people, you have relationships. My problem with most of them, they know these guys write these reports, and instead of them saying, Hey, Kev, I ain't with that. You know Brother Shaheed, when he came on the radio, he ain't saying about no drugs. You let him get that off, Mufasa put that off, and let him write that up, or you let your sister write that up that I had. I'm talking about drugs, and you know I wasn't doing it. That's my problem with the police department. It's a lot of good police. I love Chief Moss. I've run into this brother just the last 2 years, Chief Moss in Ferguson. This brother here went beyond a call of duty to show respect for this black community. When somebody's good, I shout them out. I don't have no problem shouting them out. But when they're dirty and they corrupt, then all that about is a thin blue line. We got to talk about this. You talking about the brothers won't tell each other. Hell, y'all don't tell on each other.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
You know what, make brother, I was thinking about something. I was thinking about something you said earlier. Well, a couple things you said earlier. And one thing for me personally, I know that you make a lot of tie-ins with Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah,
now,
the honorable Elijah
when it
Muhammad,
comes to too. The honorable, excuse me, brother, the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, I'm looking at, like I say, earlier today I was at the Mize. I was at Mize 28, and they had an excellent speaker there. I'm wondering, what can we do to get more of our brothers and sisters just to just listen to the message of the honorable Elijah Muhammad? Because that program is the perfect blueprint for our people, in my opinion.
Right here. Well, what you got to do when you do with our people, you set the example. What I learned from a brother many years ago when I was a young Muslim, he said, once people like you, they'll listen to you. We have to be more into the community. See, mm-hmm. if you're not into the community deep the way you're supposed to be, you're a good thing, but you're the best hidden secret. You have to be out here visible to the people, into the lives of the people. When something happens, it has to be a twofold. It has to be us with them and them with us. It can't be just everybody coming to where we are, the tiny youth group. If I think everybody going to come, I'm going to use the nature of this life. I'm going to use my group. If I don't be involved in the community, and wherever they look at, they see Brother Shaheed and the Tahi youth group there, I don't care what I'm talking about. It's irrelevant. It's kind of be like what that brother said on that tape that y'all sent me. But as long as I'm out there and it's a twofold operation, they with me and I'm with them. Why do they love the Honorable Nelson Lewis Farrakhan? Because he's involved in every aspect of their life. Whichever way they turn, he's out there. But we have to do the exact same thing. It can't be just the ministers doing it or a couple of these local ministers doing it. We have to be more involved in the streets with these young brothers. Because I hear people asking, where are the brothers? Where are the sisters? Where is this group? Where is this group? And they have a legitimate reason to ask. Now, sure, we have a lot of things to offer, but at the same time, we got to do a twofold. There's got to be a marriage where it's we with them and they with us.
Right. That's true. Yeah, thinking about that video, you know, just listening to that young man was only 20 years old. And for the callers out there, people listening who don't know what video we're talking about, it's a rapper by the name of Young G Herbo. And he did a video, he did an interview with DJ Vlad talking about the shootings in Chicago. So if y'all want to check that out, you can go to YouTube and type in DJ Vlad, Young G Herbo, and you probably can find that clip of that interview. But the young man was saying how some of the OGs that's locked up, how even if they was out, if they were out of prison and was to come on the streets and try to talk to them and switch them up, switch their game around, try to mention them and tell them what's going on, that they wouldn't listen. They would fall, you know, flat on deaf ears. So that's the young man that we keep referring back to.
Can I jump in for 1 second?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
You know, I was talking to your sister earlier, and I was giving her an example. Most women, as long as you give them quality time, they'll roll with you. But you got to give them quality time because sometimes it makes up for the flowers that you didn't bring. You know, you should bring flowers. Every once in a while, anytime when you get into trouble, just bring some flowers, some roses or something, just to show, because women love to be special. They want to know that they're special. If you don't do nothing but text them, if you don't do nothing but just say, I'm thinking about them, if you don't do nothing but run by during lunchtime on your lunch and you drove just to bring her a sandwich, a turkey sandwich with some lettuce and tomatoes and an avocado and some mango juice or something, and different, it's what you do. She loves quality time. And sometimes it ain't the money. They want some money now. Don't get it twisted now. They don't want some money too. But at the same time, they love time and attention. So if you give them attention, and that's really what that young brother was saying in so many words, I understand what the brother is saying, and I go along with some of it, and some of it I don't, but for the most part, 20 years old, what he's saying is that unless you done touched me and gave me some quality time, I understand what I heard you used to do. I believe, and you got a history, and it ain't like on the street, you ain't got a name, Larry Hoover. Your name is ringing on the street. But that ain't got nothing to do with the Young Bucks now. In this day and time, it just unheard about you. You ain't touched us. You ain't helped me. I'm out here doing whatever I have to do, and most of these brothers were with me. And I'm going to tell you something else I like, he said. He said, I ain't with these cowards that fool around with these little kids. I ain't doing that. I ain't on that kind of stuff. You know, I'm speaking for brothers like us that you can't get most of us to be on the same page, because if you get, come on, getting 40 or 50 of us, you done got a lot of us, because most of them, they out there on their own, because if you ain't been in their life, that's why you got to start when they're young. You got to start in those early preschool, and then you start being around them in those schools like Yateman School. If you can catch them in that age group, and then you start hanging around some or one of them other kind of schools, you can get them, and then be in them community centers. You be in Woles. You be in Galva. These are community centers in the city of St. Louis, for anybody that's listening. You be at Dunmarquette. You be at Booker. You start being at a Gamble Community Center. I promise you, as you start moving around, them kids will say, I used to see you down in the boxing room. Then you used to be over at the Woles. I seen you over there in the swimming class. You used to help us swim. If you've been in their lives, they'll connect with you, but you haven't. They don't want to hear about what you used to do. They're different in that sense, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of go along with some of that stuff that young brother was saying. We got to be hands-on. You just summed it up. Make it plain.
Make it plain. Indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have Brother Anthony Shaheed in the building. And give us a call if you have any questions or comments. The number is 929-477-1697. And now you had talked about as far as the media not promoting, you know, good things or stuff that black men or black people may do that are beneficial to the community. So I'm going to go Cosmic Kev on you a little bit, which is I feel like that there is a spiritual awakening. It's called like moving into the age of Aquarius, where people are waking up and becoming more aware. And I feel like that energy is here as far as black people waking up and understanding the condition that we're in and understanding how to get out. So I want to know from somebody who's been, you know, putting in this work for so long, do you see a change in our people? Do you see us becoming more aware? Do you see us waking up, recognizing the tricks that are being played on us?
Yes, I do. I don't think it's everybody. Yes, I do.
Right.
Again,
exactly.
It's just not something that they show on the tail light vision. The tail light vision won't show it. And they won't give it because they put it in the lie buried. They've lied and buried our history. So anything about us, anything positive about us, they're not going to show it. And anything that is negative, they're going to show it because it sells. Take the case. This is a sister here. Not only do I push black business, and we have to push black business. This is a name, Sister Mary. And I just talked to her just before I came because I wanted to make sure it's okay to say it, because she's one of the best quiet kept secrets because she just do things out of her heart. This sister has helped over 191 families in her home. She's raised 191 families. She's a seamstress. She's a teller. She sews. She don't have to have a pattern to sew a dress. If she got a pattern, it's okay, but she ain't got it, she can still throw that out. If she ain't got a can of biscuits, but she don't use them, she going to hand make them. She going to do it from scratch. That's what kind of sister it is. But 100, and this is no exaggeration, 191 families. Her name is Miss Mary. I won't go into, she stays on teller. I won't go into too much of that, but what she's done in this community has made such an impact that most of them never heard about. Most people never know who Ivory Perry was. Ivory Perry, you hear about Percy Green, and you should. Percy Green is a giant in this community. Ollie Stewart is a giant in this community. Bertha Gilkey was a giant in this community. I'm talking about giants that I'm talking about. But when we start talking about certain people like Ivory Perry do something like Brother Shaheed. I've got so many brothers' jobs and sisters' jobs here, and not just jobs, but also trades. But he would come back to you and say, hey, Kev, check this out, or whoever. You just got this job. I don't want anything, but say, for instance, Miss Ollie Stewart, what she don't, I'm just using her as an example, needs some help. Her life is going to get turned off. I need $20 from you this week. And he would go to Brother Shade. I need $20 from you. He would raise that $100, how much it was, and go pay that bill. And wouldn't ask him for nothing. Wouldn't ask you for nothing, but he would come back and ask you something. If he helped you get a job, and you would have to help him help somebody else. This brother has passed,
right,
and most of them to this day don't know this job. And I'm going to tell you why this is so heavy. Most people right now can give you an address. They might say Ferguson Market, who where we protest, and we're asking everybody to stay away from there. And if you come there and help us protest. People can Google that place, but guess what they can't do? They can't Google the foundation that it's standing on. Most people can't,
right,
Google the foundation that Bertha Gilkey stood on and what Bertha Gilkey did for this community and how much time and energy she gave to the housing authority and the so-called projects, whether it's Carr Square or Dawes Webby, her and Loretta Hall. They can't show you the foundation. They can show you
that's
the
right
building, but they can't show you the foundation. They can't Google that. And that's the difference, bro. You know, that's what
that's
the media
right
don't show. They're not going to blow up with
make it plain.
Make it plain.
Make it plain. Yes, sir. And that is great. I'm glad you mentioned all those folks because it's a lot of people out in the community that is doing great work, and they don't get a lot of shine, like you said, from the Tell Our Vision. Zaki Baruti, exactly. And the reason I ask that question is because according to their statistics, violent crime and murders are down in our communities now since 1993. So that's a lot of that's some press that doesn't get a lot of attention. You know, they don't like to talk about that. They always bring up Chicago and make it seem like it's all devastating. But according to their statistics, again, violent crime is down. And I had read an article where they were saying it was the accessibility and cheap guns that drove the murder rate of the black youth in 1993, which was the deadliest year for gun violence and gun murders in America. And they're saying that the production of guns was around 1,200,000 firearms that were manufactured in 93. And they're saying that it's coming back because in 2016, it was 11 million weapons that were manufactured. So my point is, you know, I believe they're making these weapons, of course, so they can put them in our neighborhoods and help us commit, you know, genocide upon each other. But like I said, I feel like there's a time where we are becoming more aware of the tricks that are being played on us. And I wanted to get your opinion on that, so I appreciate
and also
it.
I also believe that some of the white police or some of these racist police that are also doing some of these murders. I don't believe it's just all of us, but I'm going to give you something that you said in 1993. It's so deep that Mayor Bowser here became the mayor of the city of St. Louis during that time. And it was heavy. I'm going to give it to you real quick. I won't take it long. I'm going to make it what you're going to say, make it plain. The bottom line, not only is Mayor Bowser, I'm saying we had a problem. Let me show you how he fixed it because we need to have some solutions too, okay? The solution was we did job summits. And let me tell you what the difference between our job summits and anybody else. And to this day, I still try to do it. I just don't have the working relationship with this mayor because she's racist. But anyway, let me tell you what they would do. We would do. Mayor Bowser would have us reach out to a Coca-Cola or Marriott or Pepsi-Cola. He would have us reach out to whatever business established that he would have us reach out to. Maybe we would have damn near 100 of them there. We would do it at World Center. But we would valet the job. Why am I saying the words valet summit, game summit, valet job? Because in order for Coca-Cola to come, they had to talk to Brother Shaheed. If you didn't have no job, you wasn't just going to come up there and post up, I need to know how many jobs you got. You got 20 jobs? Okay. We're going to have the unemployment people here. Mayor Bowser would write a letter, make sure the unemployment people there. Then we would have a group there called United Women for Children. And what they would do resumes right there on the spot just in case the little brother didn't know how to do a resume. We would have another group there where if the unemployment people would be there. Mayor Bowser would have the unemployment people. So anything that came up. Then we would have brothers in their shining shoes. We would have shirt and ties on for them. And everything that they needed from a resume, from the unemployment people being there, from St. Louis Public Schools being there. So whatever questions came up about them being in school and how to work, everything was done. So when you walked out that place, in three different summits, we did over 1,000 jobs, and this is no exaggeration. This is documented fact. And guess what? It was never pushed on the news. Because if you do it like this, you don't have to worry about a brother just walking around some tables getting some information. No, we want him to have a resume when we get there. We want to make sure that he has his shoes shine. We want to make sure Sister don't have 20 colors up in her hair like a Broad Duke and color chart and have one wig on her head. Brothers, put a shirt in the town. If not, here's some shirts. Everybody would donate shirts. We would shine shoes. Then we would have a brother like a Juma Muhammad or myself in there talking about how to prepare and what you're going to do. You're going to go ahead and get a job, bro. Say yes or no, sir. Look him in the eye. Shake his hand. Job readiness class. So when they got out there to the employer, he would hire them. We would have Bi-State there giving them free bus passes.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yes,
because if this how you stop crime. If you start giving these young brothers some jobs, they're going to be too sleepy if they work in the night and day to not to go home and, you know, be ready for the next day. But you don't give them no job, and then you bring guns in on a level that you told me they bring guns in, you don't know what they're going to do. You feel like when you're closing down schools in the black community, you just shut. Beaumont just about shut down right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And I'm so glad you said that because that what the program you just described was solution-based because we know the solutions, like the brother Mufasa said, you know, we can look at Elijah Plain. We know the solutions, but I hate when these politicians get on TV and act like, oh, we don't know what to do or, we can't figure it out what's going on with the black community, this and that. But we know the solutions, and that was a perfect example of how you get brothers off the street, put money in their pocket, get them working, get them taking care of their families. But it seems like we do get a lot of resistance from these so-called politicians and this bureaucracy and government, and they push back because they want to see us, you know, keep killing each other. But what
politicians usually move when they see what the community, when the masses move, that's when politicians move. When we start moving in Ferguson and they seen it was a five-star catastrophic situation going on, they had to move because it was like a tsunami. It moved them. And if they don't see it, they're like pendants on the clock. They ticking and talking. But it was many of fathers and stuff from just what I told you from those different groups and from the tight youth group. We just didn't never put it on the news because we know it wasn't newsworthy to them. But brothers would cut grass and would tell a brother, come on, I'm going to take you to cut grass. The brother was painting. My brothers alone, the Shahid brothers, are known for painting and decorating. My brothers alone, probably in the last 40 years, and this is no exaggeration, done hired a couple hundred brothers. Why? Why is that so important? Not because it's my family. Because once you teach a man how to paint, he can start painting on his own, and he don't have to wait for you. You teach a man how to fish, and then you don't. Every time he get hungry, he don't got to keep coming back to you to ask you to feed him. He can feed his own self.
That's right.
Many brothers did that. Many brothers show brothers how to cut hair. So many brothers show brothers how to wash cars and clean out garage and how to hook. There's a many brothers that said when a brother asked them for some money, he said, now, I'm going to go buy you a snowblower, and you can blow the leaves off. You can blow the snow. I'm going to give you a rake. I'm going to give you some gloves, and you can go out there and hook, and then you can give my money back for this rake and stuff out of the shirt. That's what they don't tell you about. There's been many solutions out here. That ain't here. We got to shoot each other for it to be a solution for them. The solution is to lock this Negro up, put this Negro in jail, and offer him 35, 40 years, give him a public defender that don't have time to talk to him, and then tell him that you're looking at 25 years, so go on, snatch this 12. I can get you 12 years if you're going to take it today.
There you go.
Make it plain.
Yep. Make it plain. That is the game they're running, boy. If you just joining us, Brother Shahid has been dropping some bombs. It's Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev with Mufasa Ra and my sister Rigel Starr. Give us a call. We're down to the last half hour of the show. The number is 929-477-1697. And I want to give my sister Rigel Starr. You've been over there quiet. I want to give you an opportunity
I feel neglected. I feel neglected. She was the one who seen me and my daughter and told us to come on the show, and I didn't know how to tell her no, and she ain't asked me nothing. That's bad.
That's
I mean, Bro Shahid going to be crying on radio. Everybody think Bro Shahid's strong. Don't make Bro Shahid look weak on the radio. So make me look like a leader, a strong brother.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, I
look at this giggling back now. Yes, ma'am. Come on with it.
I do have a question, and it's genuine because I like the program that you said that you guys were doing. And I want to go a little bit further because I hear also, I know a lot of business owners. And I'm one myself, and I hear one thing that they always say, it's hard to find good help and good work, people that really want to work. You hear a lot of people say, I want to work, I want a job. But when given opportunities, it seems like something goes wrong where they don't follow through. So what can you speak about that as far as some things that you guys may encourage or instill in some of the young people that you guys mentor, like following through, and how do you keep the youth upbeat and bright about actually working? Because sometimes they just don't seem like they are interested, even if given an opportunity. And just one quick example, I just helped a young man who's actually a part of my family, and I presented him with a job opportunity, and he said it's not for me. And it's like you'd rather not work to go hang out versus going to work and making a little extra money so that way you can do things. So how do you kind of keep the youth that you mentor upbeat, you know,
good
to
question.
It's
called life skills. And what you got to remember, everybody's not going to listen. I got family members the same. Everybody's not, you know, if you take some water and put it on two seeds, both of the seeds don't grow up at the same time. One going to come up higher than the other. And that's a similitude that God said that some men going to excel others. Some people going to listen, and some people ain't. The ones that listen, you put things in place. And what I always show them is an example. Hey, brother, you going to do this, or you going to be in jail? You have to decide what you want. Brother Shahid, here to help you, but at the same time, you got to want to help yourself. What I'm not going to do is breastfeed you, because I'm going to tell you one of the worst things, and I hate to say it, but I have to say it, and I know Cook's going to get mad when I say it. Y'all spoil these boys. I've been to many of these homes, and these young brothers being in bed at 10, 11 o'clock, and I'm telling you, I can't feel, they got a saying out here, I feel some kind of way about that. This young brother in the bed that late during the daytime, and y'all ain't making him get up. Why do he think he got to go work when he know he can come right back home? He don't care what happened, and he going to be able to sit there and eat the sugar frosted flakes up. He going to be able to eat whatever's in the house. So y'all smaller, but the example that I always give young brothers is that the ego, one of the things the ego do when that baby is first being that woman is pregnant, the daddy and the mama ego, he helps her by putting the straws together. They first start off with a captive plant, and then they put some a cotton around it. They put some leaves around there. They put some that other little soft stuff around it. I can't think of what it is. And then they take some tweed and make a little nest. As soon as that baby is born, they usually go back and forth getting worms and feeding them this, that, and other. Once that baby starts flying with that mother, when that bird gets to the place where he acts like he ain't listening, that mother, that's why they said the bird lowers wing of humility. He flies right up underneath that mother's wing. When he starts doing his own thing, that father go back and take them those tweeds away from around the basket. He starts taking all the cotton away, all the leaves away, and all the mud away. And when that little baby come back and stick his little butt on them thorns, that captive plant them thorns, it's time to go then. At some point, you got to make men men. You can't have them talking about that ain't what he want to do. Well, you got to get up out of this house. My mother told me as soon as I graduated from school, God's my witness, I just didn't like no steel fronds. So I learned how to paint, and most people don't know, Brother Shaheen went to Disneyland, and that's why I learned my decorating skill from. But my mother told me, she said, you got to get a job. Now, I got a job for, it's called Granite City Steel. They're hiring right now. They're starting out for $2.96 an hour. You go there tomorrow, and if you don't work there, if you don't get that job because they're hiring, you got to go find somewhere to stay at. You got 1 week. And she was serious.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, once I got the job, my mother gave me $150 for a Chevrolet and told me I had to pay it back. She said, I'm going to give you 6 months to pay this $150 back because you got to get licensed, you got to get inspected and all that kind of stuff. So she wound up giving me $300, and I had to pay it back. But when you do these kids like this, what you can't do is negotiate with these kids. And what I don't do is I tell them, I'm not your mother. I'm Brother Shahid. I'm going to help you, but I can't help you and kiss your butt, too. There's two things I can't do, help you free and kiss your butt. I can't do those two things. I'm not in the butt-kissing business. I can't do that. Brother Shahid is here
that.
To help you.
Okay. Brother Shahid, did you really say $2 an hour?
$2.96 an hour, and that was a lot. That was like good money. It was like, Mama, are you serious? You got me a job making $2.96, ready $3 an hour, but $2.96. And I thought I was getting paid. You couldn't tell me nothing. I was saying like, oh, I am a man now. $2.96
right.
At Granite City Steel. And then Brother Shahid wound up being an inspector, so I wound up making $3.15. And you couldn't tell me nothing. Brother Shahid was walking around there like I had more money than Donald Trump. I had more money in my pocket than that white boy named David Crockett.
I heard that.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Brother Shahid. What what do you think in comparison to the kids now, to encourage them to what about education? How do you feel about encouraging them to go to school and allowing them
well,
to stay home
to,
and go to school?
Well, there's some reasons that for homeschooling, but you got if you homeschooling, you can't be playing with them. The homeschooling got to be more serious and more aggressive than school ever could be, because you got it's too comfortable. You're right there at your house. You're right there by your bedroom. You're right there. It's got to be a real regiment program. If it ain't that, they need to be somewhere else. But it's got to be an education, and not this kind of education. This is really education that Carla G. Wilson called the miseducation. I'll give you the best example, and real short, right to the point. I've been out of school since 1974, which is 44 years. This year will be 45 years, okay? People was graduating before me, brother, as brother and sister, and people was graduating after me. Look at our communities. You cannot tell that these many people, thousands of people every year in Chicago and Cincinnati and St. Louis and New York is graduating if you go in the black community. Because what you see is a miseducation. If we were educated right, you wouldn't have to trick us to be able to go spend money with black people. You wouldn't
That's
have to
right.
try to fast talk them to talk about coming to yours market and yours market get closed down because we wasn't making enough money. I had a supermarket, not a superstore. It was a supermarket, not a grocery store, a supermarket with plenty of land behind it, with plenty of vegetation growing, with a hoop house, the whole walk. But because people are conscious,
beehive,
when you're dead, I'm just keeping it real with you. I don't hold it personal because God has blessed me now to be out here in the community to do the things that I want to do. And, you know, a setback, I made it for a comeback. I took my dust and made it in the street. But how do I feel about us not spending money with each other? If we were taught right and had the right education. See, the slave master didn't give you the same knowledge that he had because you'd be on the same position he is. Or we would pass him because once a black man do something, you're going to always pass one of them white boys. He ain't nothing anyway.
Right. Fact. Facts.
Yeah, I really
and
miss,
just to be clear though,
I really miss that yours because I would come in there and I would see your daughter. She'd be working at the register, you know, brother.
Oh,
yeah. I'll be back down to high food.
Oh,
you're
so
you're
calling it down. Yeah,
I miss it, brother. You had the
it was a
back
beautiful family. It was a beautiful. It was clean. We believed in keeping it exceptionally clean. We didn't believe it being no. Because I didn't think we supposed to have mediocre. I knew black people were supposed to have the best. And we took our time and put that building together, and it was first class. The only problem was our people didn't come and support us. So it was a miseducation. If we was educated right, see, if you get an education, you go into school, that's one thing. But the difference between an education and a person understand how to take that same thing, you might be a straight-A student. If you don't know how to come back to your own community or go next door and help Miss Sally, who's 90 years old, who scrub floors to help you get to where you at, because you said she
that's
didn't
right.
do it your own, so that's a miseducation. That's a different kind of education. That's not the education we're talking about. We're talking about education to make you love your black love your black mother. Not talking about Superman, Batman, Ultraman, but the black man and the black woman.
Yes, sir.
And I want to be clear with my question too, because that was
yes,
a great
ma'am.
Answer. But I wasn't clear with my question, and
yes,
no,
ma'am.
My question came about because you had touched base on some examples when you got of a certain age, your mom gave you an ultimatum, saying and she was encouraging
Correct.
You to get out there and work and do things like that.
Yes, ma'am.
So I want to know about how do you feel to just speak on the difference, and maybe from a good standpoint or a good point of view or a bad point of view, because I noticed that when it comes to the black family, we are encouraged to get out into the workforce so early when the white families, when they get out of high school, they encouraged to go to college, and they still have support from their family members to they actually come and to a place where they can be self-sustaining out here, where the black family saying we just like get out there and work right after high school. Like, do you see, like, how do you view that those situations? Do you agree with me or not disagree or disagree or how do you view that?
How much disagreeing or agreeing? It's facts. What it was, the situation is, if you heard me say, my family came up extremely poor. We was poor, so there wasn't no room
right.
for that. Those were the cards that was dealt with us. We have to deal with the cards that dealt with us in the black community. This is where we are. It would be good to be able to go to college in Harvard and Yale, and a lot of us still go to school. Everybody don't do it like that. But if they go into school, they got to have the right education, and if they got to go to work right away, they got to be aggressive, because a lot of our people had to come back and be like a mother figure. For even though mother was in the house, sometimes the older sister came like a mother to the other brothers and sisters, because my brother Mark, at the age of 13, my mother got sick, and it was a store called Velvet Freeze. But before Velvet Freeze became, there was another store called Reed's, right on Page and Walton. Right on Page. Well, I'll never forget this. My mother had to go into the hospital, so they let my brother kind of take the position that my mother had. So he didn't go to school for about a month and a half, and he took the position that my mother had. And then when my mother came back out, he did such a good job and was so aggressive. He was like a father figure to her. He was so aggressive, they had him to come on even when my mother came back. See? But
indeed,
we had to be aggressive, because it was a lot of brothers and sisters. You got to remember the condition we're in as a people. We don't have that luxury to be able to sit back like that. So I always say, when it's time for you, it's only a certain window of opportunity, and when that window is open, you got to get it. You got to get it. You can't wait
for it,
because that window starts to shut, and when it's shut, you don't have no excuses. And then if you don't, that means them little brothers gonna be somewhere in the street, and if they're in the street, they got a good chance of gonna wind up being in some trouble.
Indeed. Make it plain.
One last thing.
Once she gets started, she rock and roll, though.
She been going,
though. I'm loving it, too.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Come on.
We have someone that's been holding on. I want to see if they have a question or a comment yet.
Yeah.
Caller, area code
336-96-965.
Caller, do you have a question or a comment yet, or are you still listening?
I think I'm still listening. What happened to the things you sounds really nice, because I know a lot of things I went through as I was growing up, and I was the oldest child, and a lot of things came on me. So I can relate to what he's saying. But I'm still just listening.
Okay.
Indeed.
I just wanted to make sure a caller, because I knew that you guys had some common things. So. But I appreciate it.
Indeed.
I don't have any more questions right now, but
we're down to the last 10 minutes, but I do have one more question for Brother Anthony Shaheed.
Then I got a question I want to ask y'all three.
Okay. Indeed.
And let me get mine in real quick. How do y'all feel now knowing y'all are new leaders, and what are y'all game plan to do what you know needs to be done? Right now, the baton is being passed on to y'all, and it should be. We should be standing there with you and helping you, because you should be just like us or better than us. You can be just like us by doing some of the things you see Brother Zaki do or Brother Percy Green done or some of the other people over the years. But you can be better than us by studying what we've done and come up with. Tell me what you're going to do to help us get about this condition that 25 years from now, our people would never know that we were in this condition. What are y'all putting in place?
Good question.
Who wanna go?
I can go first. Yeah, that's great.
Right.
And what I would like to do is to continue to do what I'm doing now to enhance it, and also learn from people like you. So that's why I appreciate you coming on the show and giving us a lot of your experience and your wisdom. Another thing that I plan to do, I have kids myself, so I'm going to, as a parent, my job is to teach them what I didn't know at their age, and to encourage them, and also teach them what I do know and what I didn't know when I was their age. And so that way they can be prepared to take my spot and to also do better than what I did. So I'm going to continue to do my best in the community and try to network with elders and people that I can learn from, so that way I can also teach my kids and other younger generations behind me. So hopefully they can, excel and do what
I love your answer. It starts at home. It spreads abroad. Brother Cam, Messiah, whoever wants to go for it.
Indeed, I go. Everything that my sister Roger Starr just said, my thing is not to try to reinvent the wheel, but to follow the lead from brothers like you, Zaki, and everybody that's in the community doing their thing.
and just to be a constant student, learn, listen to the people, and hopefully with this platform we can bring other people on that's doing the work so they can get highlighted, they can be praised, and they can be, you know, given a platform to discuss things that's going on in our community. And hopefully here at Collective Minds we can provide that platform for the people doing the work in our community to get the shine that they deserve. So
thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate hearing Young Buck talk. My brother?
Well, I tell you, I'm not going to go too long. I could go a long time on this, but I'm going to try to make it quick. Just like Roger said, continue to be a guiding light for my children and be there in their life, because a lot of men, especially black men, have been missing in action when it comes to their family. So I'm going to continue to be there for my family and raise them. As far as the platform, like Brother Kev said, with this Collective Minds broadcast, I would love to make this bigger than just a blog talk show. We need to make this a YouTube show, a youth program. We need to build on this Collective Minds and take it out into the community. And the third thing is I'm going to continue to follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and going off of his teachings, because he was significant in getting me to where I'm at now. So I'm going to continue to follow his leadership.
I'm going to say this, and I know you're going to answer, and I'm going to say it real quick within 1 minute. It's powerful that each one of y'all said what y'all said. I'm going to tell you why. You started at home. And most people say, when you hear somebody say, well, if you just get one, why is that important? Look at what Muhammad Ali has done, or his master teacher. Look at what Elijah Muhammad has done. Look what one Malcolm has done. Look what one Dr. Martin Luther King has done. So sometimes when people say, if you get just one, sometimes they don't say, you don't know. Look what this one lady, Miss Mary, who's a teller that dealt with 191 families in her home. Look what one person has done. Look what one Bertha Gilk has done with the whole project throughout America under Jack Kemp, who was the director of HUD. Look at one person, Loretta Hall's done. Look what one person has done. When you start thinking about one person, look what one Mr. Farrakhan has done. Look what one Barack Obama, whether you like what he did or not. Look what he made history. One person. So if you put quality time in that one person, that one son or daughter, it starts in the house. You don't know who that son or daughter be. What's the question you had for me, my brother? I'm making it plain.
Yes.
Make it plain.
Make it plain. Yes, sir. We're down to the last 12 minutes. Thank you, Collective Minds listeners. Thank you, y'all, to support us. And just real quick, I just want to get your thoughts on Wesley Bell, who will be the new St. Louis County prosecutor, replacing Bob McCullough after 27 years. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on him winning that position.
Yes, sir, I'll do it in 1 minute. I'm so thankful that Brother Wesley Bell won. I'm glad that we could do a bye-bye Bob. Bob is gone. How long? Dr. King said not long. He gone. So long, he's on the road again. See, and
that's
I'm
right.
Thankful. But it just shows you how things came out of Ferguson, how all these things came out of Ferguson from one brother who's still speaking from the grave, Michael Brown Jr., for 4 months and a half, shook the whole entire globe. And now
he's
speaking from the grave right now and was able to, for what he did and what happened to him, his life now is a legacy. And everybody around the world knows. And now he rode on a coattail and got in there. Now all he got to do is come on in there and do it. We got him. We got Sister Kim Gordon on the other side. And we had some other powerful elections.
Right.
I'm thankful for Michael Brown Sr. And what they're doing with their Ferguson
right.
market. We're asking everybody in this area, do not shop at Ferguson market. Be conscious enough. Go to a black store. We got a black service station on Kings Highway, National Bridge in St. Louis, a BP station, Rodney Scales. Go to a Stephanie Out-of-Body. Go to a black restaurant. Go spend your money with some black folks. You know, for us.
That's
guys.
Right.
Thank y'all for letting me come on y'all's show. Thank y'all so much.
Thank
that's
you,
why I said I don't need no notes when I'm talking to my nephews and my nieces. I don't need no notes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got that right. Brother Uncle Shahi,
y'all don't make me cry on the show. Don't make me start crying on the show. Don't do what they say. Don't do. Let's keep it 100. Don't do 98 and 2. Let's keep it straight 100.
Hey, I got much love. Love you, Uncle Shahi.
Love you too, brother.
You
so thank
on,
y'all.
Brother. And, hey, can we catch up with you next? Real quick, where can we
catch you next? You tell me when you want to get. My sister got my number. She got my daughter's number. I'll come back on next week or the week after, 3 weeks from now, a month from y'all. Whenever y'all tell me, I love the youth. I respect y'all, and I'm so thankful publicly for what every youth has done.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother
Zahid.
Thank you.
Y'all be throwing that fist up. You know what I represent, brother.
Thank you.
Well, if you don't, let me enlighten
you. Black power, black power,
spending money with my own kind.
Black power,
buying land that I can call mine.
Black power,
educated, innovative mind.
Black power,
unity and self-defense combined.
Black power,
black power,
black power,
black power,
black power,
educated, innovative mind. I just put a black extension on my AR. If my blackness is offensive, I don't say sorry. When it's time to handle business, gotta play your part. If you're not black, I'ma play the race card. No, he didn't, yup, I just play the race card. I'm enlightened, so that's why I feel safe at dark.